Well, welcome back, everyone. Thank you for participating in the worship right where you're at. Isn't it an excellent Sunday morning when we get a chance to just gather in the name of Jesus, worship Jesus? He is our Redeemer. He's our Savior. So we should not fear or dread anything. It's a beautiful Sunday. Matter of fact, it's Communion Sunday. And I want to encourage you at the end of the message this morning, we're going to have communion together. So you may want to consider gathering those elements that you'll participate with me in communion. Let's take our Bibles in hand. Would you join me? We're beginning a new Sunday series. The new Sunday series is entitled, really, the whole series is, once again, Courage to Face Our Fears. Courage to Face Our Fears. And I'm going to be going to Joshua chapter 1. So I encourage you to find the book of Joshua. You'll see that, really, that sixth book in the Bible at the beginning. But let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. If there is anybody that may be facing uncertainty, anxiety, worry, or dread, and especially fear, thank you for being our answer in every season and in every situation. We love the word and we stand on it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, naturally, I don't want to start a message without a little bit of humor. So a guy goes into his barber now that things are opening up, and he's getting his nice haircut, and he says, well, what's the occasion? The man says, well, I'm going to Rome. I'm going to the Vatican. I'm going to see the Pope. And the barber was so excited. Oh, man, I'm Catholic. Give a good word for me to the Pope, would you? So about 3 months later, the man comes back for his haircut again. Barber remembers him. How was your visit to Rome, and what was it like to meet the Pope? He said, well, I bowed down and curtsied, kissed the Pope's hand, and the Pope said to me, my son, where did you get that terrible haircut? Anyway, so as we take a look here, God is not terrible. Let's take a look at what he has to say to us this morning. We're taking a look at the element of courage to face our fears. Isn't it interesting, I find, if you ask children what they would want to be when they grow up? What did you want to be when you grew up? What was it like when you were considering? Most children will say something like, I want to be an astronaut, I want to be a fireman, I want to be a police officer, I want to be a doctor, a teacher, and all of those areas. Some of them say, I want to be a superhero nowadays. All of them would develop and need some form of courage, some extreme courage. And isn't it interesting that children themselves understand the need for courage, the requirement that it's going to take to step into a role or position? So today we're taking a look, because last time we were together, last Sunday's message, wasn't that outstanding? Pastor Clayton Robinson gave us a message of how big is your God when it comes to the element of just the life of Abraham. Remember how God promised him in Genesis 12 that, listen, Abe, I'm going to make you fruitful, I'm going to give you provision, and I'm going to protect you. And shortly thereafter, in that chapter 12 of Genesis, famine strikes, and Abraham goes down to Egypt. And why? Because he does not feel God is going to bring provision for him. And then Pharaoh meets his entourage, and he's concerned that Pharaoh may want his wife, so he lies about his wife being his sister, because God somehow cannot protect him. And then he literally almost sells off his wife, and now there goes his fruitfulness. Isn't it amazing how people can just barter away thinking God may not be able to come through? But we are contending for some things in this series, and today we are taking courage, and even courage to face our fears. All of us, I think, with COVID over the last 12 plus months, we've really have experienced a deluge of things that have bombarded us, from shutdowns to shaming messages from the media, to those even threats from the government, to those scare elements about COVID. And isn't it interesting, you can just see that all of a sudden, all of this is fostering fear among society. It's the craziest thing I have ever experienced, really. And to see and to understand how fear is almost being weaponized. It's almost being used to control people. And that's why we're bringing this up and trusting the Lord to help us in this. Neuroscience is doing some studies right now. What is the effects of the lockdown, the quarantine, those areas of isolation? We know that there's been some real emotional duress that has played out on people. I think a while back, remember when we were addressing even the element of suicide? So we're taking a look here and we see here that fear is now just affecting people in some unique and challenging ways. But I do feel that it's time. I hear Jesus saying to you and me, to his church, it's time to get back to life. It's time to come out of fear. It is really time. God does not want his people to be identified by fear. He does not want his church to be identified by those elements of fear. It's to define his church with life. He's come to give abundant life. That's for you today. That's for me. And that's why the beautiful thing is I love having Christ in my life. I love sharing him with others. So courageous living, it's time to have that, to step into that area, take courage, and even face our fears. Well, how are we going to do that? Let's unpack some things because we've got a few weeks together, but let's look at number one. God wants courage to define your life, not fear. That's our first point today. God wants your life to be defined by courage. Let's be careful, not fear. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. That was our launch verse. And it says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Take a look at that. It's a command. Have I commanded you to be strong and of good courage. Good courage. Boy, that's a command when we take a look at that. Let's look here as well. I want to slide over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. New Living Translation says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." That's an important thing. That area of just that spirit of fear or timidity, that isn't from the Lord. You can see where the God's saying, "I have this for you. Let's pass on over to courageous living." It's going to require that to be followers of Jesus in this day and age. Let's take a look here. I have another one I'd like us to look at together. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. I'm in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. "Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong." Wow. Both Old Testament and New Testament. Be courageous. So we're looking at this. Again, our title, Courage to Face Our Fears. I like the element when we look at this. It's going to be important for us. We're going to hit some of these topics a little bit later as the weeks unfold. But let's remind ourselves, Jesus promised some things would be facing followers of Jesus. And it's going to take courage to follow Jesus in this day and age, friends. You know that, but it's important for us that he promised, didn't he, that you would be hated. Remember how he said that in Mark 13, 13? You may want to write that down. "Really, Lord, I thought if I'm a nicer person, a more forgiving person, nobody would hate me. But because you're a follower of me," he said. Also, he promised that we would be persecuted. Write down John 15, verse 20. Really? We're going to be persecuted. He also promised that there's going to be trials in John 16, verse 33. Go ahead and write that down as well. The one that really got me when I came across it many years ago, he promised that we would be turned over to the authorities by our family members. And that's found in Matthew chapter 10, verse 36. So living really today, it kind of feels to me, I don't know about you, feels like we're living in a foreign land, doesn't it? America is not a Christian nation anymore. It really isn't, in my perspective. We almost need to get over that. Now, it's not anti-religion, our nation is. It's anti-followers of Jesus That's really where we're at right now. I just want to remind you, be on your guard. It's time for courageous faith. It really is. This is the time to do that. It's time for courageous following of Jesus. It is now the time. It is that time. So we recognize how Jesus has told us many times that you are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. He didn't say you become salt, you become light. He already says you are, just by reason that transformed life through Jesus Christ. You already are. But how could we be salt or light to the world if we're constantly being required to distance ourselves or to be isolated? How is that even possible to serve the needs of our community if we avoid gathering together? I believe there's something really that you could see that's causing people fear to cower sometimes. Let's take great courage to follow Jesus. Let's take a look at the second point. Experiencing fear is normal. I really want to highlight the easy way with which we're going at this so that God ministers life to us and we don't feel that somehow we have been disappointing to the God or to others, that somehow we are lacking confidence, because your life might feel guilty these past few months where it's like, I'm just fearful to go outside, I'm fearful to address people, I don't want to help humanity, and now what kind of a Christian am I to be feeling this way? Boy, don't feel guilty. This is the note of number two. Experiencing fear is normal. It's a human emotion. It's a part of living. It's a way that we want to address these things. Even the great people in the Bible, great people of faith. And two examples I want to present, probably two of my greatest heroes. Letter A, even the Apostle Paul experienced faith. Even the Apostle Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, this dude seemed to be hard as nails to face persecution, imprisonment, beatings. Just, it's incredible when we take a look at that. But if you look here for a moment with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3, check it out. He says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Isn't that interesting? He says it himself. I was fearful. So that's not the imagination I was thinking of the Apostle Paul when I considered what kind of a life, how was he dealing with all of these areas. It's important for us once again. Also, take a look here, because even that fear caused him at times to be physically ill. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. You have that there? You can see it on your screen. Verse 5, it says, for indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, and inside were fears. Wow, that is an amazing thing. The Apostle Paul, this guy experienced Jesus face to face when he was on the road to Damascus. How is it if the Apostle Paul were to experience fear, what chance do I have? I'm just saying, to experience fear, that is normal. Somehow people think, well, I got to be spiritual enough to avoid any forms of fear. I got to walk by faith enough to have no fear. Wow, that will just build up guilt and despair. Be careful about that, over-spiritualizing things. If somehow I'm connected enough to Jesus, no fear. Those times will come. That's all we're saying. It'll happen. Be careful not to misunderstand how fear functions as a human emotion. So I don't want anybody to feel like I've failed because I'm fearful or I'm doubtful. Be careful about that. It just leads to where a person says, well, who am I? I can't do anything. I'm just going to quit, even quit following Jesus. So remember that. Let's look at my next example, letter B on your notes. Even Jesus himself experienced fear. That's found in Matthew 26, 39. That's an important reference. You can just look at that, but that's where the Bible says in the Garden of Gethsemane, he went a little further and then he fell to the ground and he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Can you imagine that? Because the Lord at that time, he understood he was going to be facing the horrors in just a few hours. The amazing elements of the whips that were coming, the areas in the humanity sin coming upon him, feeling of pain and the area of bludgeoning, the feelings of the nails in his body, the experience of all of a sudden cross and then dying by suffocation. That's how the cross ended a person's life. You can imagine Jesus himself. And the Bible says that he was under such duress, such probably fear, that in Luke 22:44, go ahead, write that down, that he sweat great drops of blood. So Jesus himself experienced fear. You say, well, how could that be? He's God. Let's remember this. He is 100% God and 100% man. It's blended together. The Bible calls it a great mystery that God himself was every bit man to redeem us, to redeem mankind, the perfect man. But he experienced every form of range of emotion, even fear. We have to include that. It's important for us. You can't really sympathize with humanity if you don't know what that's about. So he did. Matter of fact, if you would take a moment here, let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. It talks about how he experienced every form of weakness. It says in verse 14 to 16, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, no sin in Jesus. And let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So note this, it's important that fear does not mean you're a lousy follower of Jesus. That's all I want to emphasize. Fear comes to all people. It just means you're human. That's what that means. You're going to be experienced. There are times we're grateful for fear coming on a person because it causes them to maybe avoid a big object coming down the street. The adrenaline kicks in. It's called the old fight and flight. I'm afraid I'm getting out of here. That's a good thing. But Jesus does not want fear to ever control your lives. That's where fear starts to get into the way of God calling us to greater things. I know the Lord does not want fear to cause us to be the basis of our decisions. That's important. We want to be people that walk by faith. God does not want fear to drive our lives into the future. Well, I'm just going to go and make it easier and comfortable. Be careful about that. God's the one that controls our life. Do not let fear, this simple human emotion, control your life. Watch out for that, because he wants his word and his promises to direct you. I remember in the 70s, I was just in junior high, something called the Jesus Movement. Here was literally a message, one message, the rapture. Jesus is coming. You get right or you get left. And so there were just solid moves of God around every church. Most of your big churches structurally were built in the 70s and 80s because of the influx of people, most of them young people. But the message at that time, because of the rapture, he's coming soon. And people just called out to God, save me from this hour. And now here we are many, many decades removed, and he hasn't come. He's going to come. He hasn't come yet. And there's a number of people that backslide. It's like, what? I thought he was coming, and now 40, 50 years later, what is happening? Jesus has not come. I sat down with very ancient sages in the faith, and they thought World War II was the end of the world, and that somehow that area of the onslaught of evil, the access, and it was amazing how that people thought the end. But usually fear at that time people moved to make decisions by fear. Let's let God cause us to move in that direction and help us in those areas. Let's take a look at number three, the points we really want to, because how do we take courage and face fear and move beyond it? That's where we really want to land, because we're going to be hitting some topics in these weeks ahead. But let's look here. Number three, courage is only developed by facing our fears. That's where we want to take a look at today. We recognize that it's very important. Now, remember this, that feeling of fear is true. It's true. It's a very real emotion. But fear does not indicate it is true that you could be facing. That's important to remember. So as we look here, letter A, face our fear through prayer. Let's start there. Very practical. All of these network together is what a Christian's all about. But if you look here for a moment, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Because anytime you start to be fearful, let that be an indicator. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. That's all. Boy, I feel agitated. Something's wrong. Honey, come on over here. Kids, come on over here. Everybody come. Let's pray. Because 1 Peter 5, 7 says, give all your worries, from the New Living Translation, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Give all your worries. NIV says, give all your anxieties, all your dreads. I like Psalm 34, verse 4. Let's take a look at that one as well. It says, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. So face your fears through prayer. That's important for us. Should be that reminder once again. What does prayer do when we pray? Just take a little note tablet and write this down. Prayer connects you to the source of your courage and strength. Hello? Even unbelievers, when Christians pray with them, right away they start feeling better. Right away they start feeling more confident, more encouraged, more strengthened. That's what prayer does. I don't know why people don't pray more. It's a great gift God has given humanity. Pray. It connects us to our source. I remember at age 22, single guy, just right there, newly in Bible college, and right away my pastor says, thank you, Paul. I'm moving you from Royal Rangers into junior high. And by the way, next year we're going to take a look, put you on the church council. I thought, what am I doing here? And other things I was responsible for, I had no business in doing. I guess my pastor, bless him, and I thank God for him, assumed or felt I was ready to go. I was not. But one thing that God helped me with to connect the dots, and that was to pray. And it would seem when I traveled from Pasadena to Azusa, California, to do Wednesday youth group, sometimes ill-prepared, God always showed up. It's amazing. His mercy was so great. But the fear and the dread of those programs and those events that I felt responsible for at times even caused me to feel ill physically. But God was good. And all I can say is prayer connected me to the source of my courage and my strength. The other thing I want you to write down, prayer slows down your stress hormones. Just write that down. Prayer slows down your stress hormones. I'll tell you, when you feel fearful, it's that old fight and flight responsibility we start taking on over. Be careful about those things. Just pray. It's amazing when I ask people, have you prayed? They almost literally will say, I don't have time. I'm too stressed out. It's like, oh my, pray. Face your fears through prayer. That's so important. Take a look here at Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says this through 16, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, or Daddy God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I love that collection of verses. Those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. But what's important, You can see in verse 16, the Spirit himself, not an it, himself bears witness, we are the children of God. You may even want to pause there and say, Lord, I am saved. I am your child. And then listen to the voice of God saying, you're right. You are mine because of my son Jesus. Well, that's a beautiful thing. But if you look here, it says that God has not given us a spirit of bondage again to fear. That bondage, that entrapment, that thing that keeps coming or maybe completely envelops you, that is not from God. Be careful about that. There are times we have to take authority, and Spirit of God will remind you, tell that thing to go in the name of Jesus. It is not a human emotion. It's feeding on your humanity. It's kind of like that physical element of every person, red-blooded boy and girl. That element of lust can come in, and it's not of a human nature. It's a driven force. In the name of Jesus, be gone. And it goes. I like, too, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I'm going to slide on over there. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. That doesn't come from him. Don't let your natural element, inclination to be fearful, knowing you need to pray, something's driving hard by an element of another spirit. Be careful. It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, self-control. So it's important. So you keep moving, you're praying, and now you're facing your fears with letter B, face our fears with truth. With truth. That's important. If you take a look with me at John 17, 17, it's a good number. Jesus just says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Now that's important. It's vital for us because why do we need truth? The word of God. The word of God is truth. Because fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. Fear is not objective. Fear will try to magnify itself in your situation. Fear will try to tell you this is bigger than you and bigger than God can help. Fear is terrible in that regard. Therefore, we need truth. We need the word of God. You're praying, but where else can I go, Lord? You need the word of God. You take a look back at our verse that we had in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Remember, we read it. We started with that. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's the truth. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Wherever you are right now, whatever situation or season of life you're in, God is with you right now. That's important. That's the truth. That's what we're taking a look at. The God of the universe is with you right now. The God with infinite resources is with you right now. The God who basically will tell you, do not be afraid. I'm right here to help you. He's not just an observer. He is there to help you. So the world's message is out there telling us we need to isolate ourselves, to quarantine ourselves, to be by ourselves. And sometimes people will say, maybe God has left me too. I'm all by myself. You can see why people would start to believe a wrong spirit and think thoughts of suicide. Watch out. So you're praying, you're going for truth, which is the word of God, and be careful because you just got to make up your mind. I am digging into the word of God, the truth. Because if you don't, fear will hit all kinds of what ifs, the scenarios of the what ifs. Well, what if we do this and that happens? What? Man, God is true. He's there to help you. So you make that choice. What voice are you going to hear in your head, or are you going to listen and read the truth? So important. Basically, it goes just like this. You want to pray the truth. Dear Lord, I believe your word. I believe you're with me right now and that I can do all things through you, Jesus, who strengthens me. I will not be afraid of man. Because, Lord, you are greater, and all things are possible. Boy, that's important. You want to see one prayer I actually add often? Hebrews chapter 13. Let's take a look at that together. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness." Where are we going with that one? "Be content with such things as you have." Which means sometimes people don't like what they're in right now. They're believing and having faith to move them somewhere else. It stinks here, and I want out. But God's word says, don't go being grabby. Be content where you're at. And then he goes on, the word says, "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we may boldly say, verse 6 says, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Lord, I will not fear. And I will not fear man. I know you are my redeemer. You're going to help me, take care of me. That's a great way to pray, isn't it? Well, we don't want to always get so spiritual that all of a sudden things happen. I'll tell you, people will say, "Well, Pastor Paul, will I ever somehow bypass fear? Will I ever get strong enough spiritually? Will I ever know enough word of God to move beyond fear?" Well, no. I'm sorry. Why would I say that? Well, because you have an enemy of your soul. The enemy hates it when you get into the word. He hates you. He hates the truth. He hates God. And you're made in the image of God. And he can't get at God. He tried and he came out second best. But he knows God loves you and he wants to harm you. Be careful about that. We've all heard the lies that says, listen, you're not enough. We all heard the lies that you will never make this happen. We've all heard the lies that, listen, you've made poor decisions in the past. Who do you think you are to make this big decision now? We've all heard the lies, you're alone. God's not interested. You've done that sin so many times, even God's not going to hang around with you. Be careful about that. So we pray the truth. Letter C, we face our fears with action. Can you take a look at that with me? With action. It's not enough to say, I believe. It takes no courage to say, let's just all get into Bible study and get better belief and better understanding. It takes courage to face your fear with action. I like it in Hebrews chapter 11. You could certainly take a look at Hebrews 11. I like verse 6 says, and it's possible, impossible to please God without faith. In all of chapter 11, you know it, we've been there. It's all about these great heroes of faith. Bible says Abraham believed God and he did something. He moved to action. Noah believed God in faith and he did something in action. Faith produces action. And to face fear is going to require you to step into some action. It's essential to overcome fear. It's essential. Just say that. Action is essential to overcome fear. I need to put my faith into action. In James chapter 2, verse 17, would you take a look at that with me? New Living Translation says, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. Let me take a look here. Boy, this is the season in the history of the church cannot afford dead and useless faith. The world needs you. The world needs the church. Faith requires one thing from us, even while we are afraid to step out, and it's called obedience. Let's be obedient to God. Let's trust him for that. It's only one way to conquer fear, and that is let's step out and let's be obedient. Our spiritual journey is a lifelong process. That's important. He's like, "What, Lord, why would you?" I've often, "Lord, why would you ask me to do something that you know I'm afraid to do?" Isn't that a great question? Have you ever asked that? I mean, he knows you're thinking that. Why would he do that to you and me? Well, he's wanting to move us beyond fear and help us to see he's greater and that together you and him can accomplish much. He wants to win society with you. use you, and accomplish his kingdom dynamics through you. So let's be careful about that. Let's be careful. Oftentimes, we all have those dreadful dreams. I remember Ainsley, when we were first married, she worked at Marie Callender's as a waitress. And she had a reoccurring dream that they were flooding her station and all her booths with people, and she could not keep up with the orders, the demands for butter, for cornbread. She'd have a reoccurring dream. I remember when we were asked to take a little struggling church in Banning, I had this reoccurring dream, maybe no one's going to show up. Well, God remedied that. Our first few months, we only had 12 people. So my reoccurring dream was more like, is anybody ever going to show up? So God helped me there. I really think it was. So it was more like the church started to expand and people joined the membership, and it was a great season. So it's amazing. What is your reoccurring dream? Or we could say scary dream. God will bring you to a victory. It's very important. Fear, remember, is a liar. Watch out for that. Be careful about that. Faith produces action, and faith comes by the word of God. It's going to be important. Going to be important for you. And finally, letter D, face our fears with others. Can you highlight that? Face your fears with others. I like 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, New Living Translation. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. Well, to encourage one another is to really give courage to one another. That's why we need to be together. I'm grateful that you're with me online. I thank God for the technology and the smart, brilliant people here at Hope Chapel that know you value and are important to us, so that these online messages and our Sunday services can come to you and minister life and direction. But there's something about gathering in person where people start to voice the truth, what God has for you, come against the lies. All of a sudden, that fellowship of believers, they see Christ in you, and they start to describe that. That's where encouragement comes. They start to draw out the word of God and say, oh, man, God has great things. That's what it's all about how we can face our fears together with others. They start to speak life. They start to speak truth. They start to say, man, come on, you can do it. Let's not shrink back. God's about ready to do a miracle. That's what the Bible is all about, and it's important for us. I want to ask you a question. Are you, where you're at currently, are you fostering encouraging words? Or are what you're saying, is it fostering fear? Would you consider that? And even, am I fostering fear among my family or maybe even to myself by what I say? Are you fostering? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Are you fostering encouragement and courage to others by what you say? Parents, you might consider that as well. Are you fostering courage to your own children? Can you just, I was taking a look at a message maybe for parents, but it's important for us to help our children to see Christians as their heroes. It's important. Children have heroes. They need to see that. Would you encourage them to see the heroes in the Bible? One teenager is reading a great book. It's Through the Gates of Splendor, The Life of Jim Elliot. Another one is really Jesus Freaks, The Voice of the Martyrs. Another good book to read. Some great things even on their website to see these heroes of the faith. Some of them, it cost their lives. Children need to see that, so when they face their own decisions, it's going to be important. But I want to encourage you, this season, it's time to gather together as a church. If distance is not a challenge, would you consider a couple of questions? Is your decision to still maybe watch online or isolate, is it fear based that's making that decision? That would be one. Just consider that. The other question to pray about, Lord, when should I get back into person service? In-person service. When would you want me to do that? Those are two questions. Lord, why am I still watching online? The word church is ekklesia. That word, ekklesia in Greek, is called out from society to gather frequently for a common purpose, ekklesia. So we gather from society really frequently for a common purpose. That's important. We need you. You need us. God knows our hearts, doesn't he? Can I just ask you here as we prepare ourselves for communion? Let's prepare this element right now. Let's ask God to examine our hearts. See if there's anything that's causing us to be fearful. On one hand, remember, it should lead us to pray, and that's what we're going to do, just silently, even meditate. Lord, is there anything I'm afraid of? And you might say, nah, I'm good. Well, wait. God knows. Don't cut it off yet. God knows. And he knows that there's something that you haven't really addressed, and he wants to now address with you. We are taking courage to face our fears. Take a moment right now. Lord, help us hear your voice. We know there's victory in Jesus. Already won is our theme this year. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.